get up out of bed, wash your face, brush your teeth. Welcome to Because I Said So on Delmarva Public Radio. I'm Jenny Pastisak, joined by Kathy Bassett, Jackie Jennings, and Kim Hudson. We have a full show today. We're talking about baby names. Maybe you regret naming your child what you did. Also, how do you talk to your child about how babies were even made and born and the whole process? And then we end the show with a very serious topic, but very important, how to talk to your children about the death of a family member or friend. We'll show you and talk to you about all that we know, and then you can go to our website to find some expert advice.
Your stuff away, make a bed, do it now. Do we have all day? Were you born in a barn? Would you like some? Hey, can you even hear a word I say?
You're listening to Because I Said So on Delmarva Public Radio. Baby names, it's something that parents-to-be focus a lot of time and attention on prior to having the child. They really spend a lot of time on it. But what about after the baby's born, after the baby's named? Do you think about it later? Some do, and some regret it, very much so. Like Jackie found online. This year, it's even worse. 54% on an online survey said they regret their chosen names for their children.
And the year before it was 8%. So I question that survey a little bit statistically. But
Well, with the names that are coming out, I think, in the past year or so, I think they just kind of get a little bit crazier and crazier.
Well, you know, there's fad names. So, you know, that does seem like a crazy thing to do, to saddle your kid with a fad name. And maybe you don't know it's a fad at the time. But I always felt bad for kids like who were named Forrest when Forrest Gump came out.
Whoa.
You know, I really always felt bad.
I'm a Jenny.
Jenny. Peas and carrots.
But is it, and I've always wondered with people who have really unusual names, is it better to have an unusual name and stand out, or to have a Jackie and be, you know, grow up in the 1970s where every little girl was named Jackie? Mm-hmm. So,
or Kim.
Exactly.
Kim was the other one.
Yeah, I agree. And but, you know, you also have to think about it. We did, as before we had Stephen, we thought about names and we thought, well, we don't want something that kids could make a nickname out of that would really make fun of our child, because they're going to make up a nickname for your child whether you like it or not, their peers, their friends.
So, let's not make it easy on them.
Right. Let's try and try and keep it clean.
Now, you named your son after your husband.
Well, it's Stephen and Stephen, but they're spelled differently because my husband's P-H-A-N, my son's P-H-E-N. The reason why, you want to know?
Yes.
Stephen A-N, my husband, got Stefan a lot. And he didn't want Stephen
so
to have to go through that.
So he liked that his son was named after him. He just didn't want him to put up with the...
Spell the same
Stefan.
Way. Stefan.
I see. So he's not like a junior or a third or whatever.
No, yeah. He's not.
Okay. Well, and that's funny because we did kind of the same thing. I wanted my son to have the same name as his dad, Byron. And my husband said, absolutely, positively, no on the Byron. And really, the more you think about it, it's hard to saddle a three-year-old with, you know, the name Byron. So... because we have, you know, every coffee mug in my house has the initials BLJ on it, we thought, well, at least, you know, the coffee mug should go to someone. So we'll name him, we'll give him the same initials, BLJ. And, you know, Lanza was my maiden name, so his middle name became Lanza. That made it really easy. So we came up with Benjamin Lanza Jenning. And that worked out perfectly. No Byron. Coffee mugs are all going to Ben when he, you know, grows up.
Wow.
So,
I thought
so
you named
all
him
is
after-
well.
I thought you named him after Ben Roethlisberger.
That came a little late. That was just a fortunate coincidence.
Oh, it was.
Yes, it was.
Jackie's a huge Steelers
That's
fan.
Right.
Sorry for
That's
you
right.
Ravens fans out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we in our family, for some reason, my husband's side of the family, they go by their middle names. So while I didn't necessarily intend for it to happen, it has happened with both of my kids. So my son's name is Andrew Will, and we call him Will. Now, the first week of his life in the video, we're all calling him Drew, because I love that name. I've always loved the name Drew, and that's, you know, so something happened. I don't know, the narcotics wore off or something, and my husband won out because he really wanted it. Want him to be named Will, so he goes by Will now. And my daughter also goes by her middle name because we kept with that tradition with her. So she's Caroline Ann, however we call her, Annie. And the one thing, I've always loved the name Annie, but I worry, you know, does a grown-up, you know, be taken serious if your name is Annie? So every time I meet a mature woman whose name is Annie, I'm like, oh, I like that name. Have you ever had any issues with it? And they're all like, oh, no, it's a great name. So I do like the reinforcement that, because it is a big decision. I mean, you are saddling this kid with a lot when you name him that.
It's a huge decision. And we all talk about the names that you don't want your kids to be called, the nicknames. And then you have to look at the initials to sure the initials don't spell anything. And then for me, I worked in the school system. So then you have all those negative connotations. You can't name your child after the child that you spent every day with in the office. So it was hard in my house. My husband and I made a list and we picked our top five names and we had to choose the name that we both had on our list. So it wasn't either one of our top choices, but it was the only one that we both had on the list. And so that was Connor.
Excellent compromise going on there.
I can't believe you gave into that.
And I will say, I still love my daughter's name. Her name is Anderson. We wanted something unisex, you know, no gender cues there. I don't know. I just feel it's important.
You mean you picked Anderson, even if it was a boy or a girl, you mean?
No, I picked Anderson for a girl, for sure. Okay. We knew she was going to be a girl. But it's my mother-in-law's maiden name. Her name is Jane Anderson. And so, but it's spelled S-E-N and not S-O-N. And she warned me. She said everyone will spell it wrong her entire life. And sure enough, everyone spells it wrong. But it's a great family name. And I love that we gave it to her. And I love that nobody's going to look at her job, you know, resume someday and go, you know, I don't want to hire a girl.
That's very smart. Very smart.
How interesting. Yes. We have a friend who had a daughter, Gabrielle, and they're an Italian family. But he was like, but she will not be called Gabby. You know, Gabby is not what she's going to be called. And we just saw her. She was starring in the Queen Anne's County High School play this past weekend. And big headline, Gabby Caligiuri. So no matter what you intend, people will always change whatever you intended.
Yeah, my youngest is Nicholas, and we didn't think we would call him Nicky, but we call him Nicky. He's a Nicky, and I think, you know, is that Guido? Is that, hey,
that's
Nicky?
Cute. Yeah.
But, you know, we spelled his name N-I-C-O-L-A-S, no H. And to this day, my husband says, because he loves Nicolas Cage, that's the way Nicolas Cage spells his name. I'm like, that's not why we spelled it that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, everyone has a reason for naming their children what they do. I like keeping names in the family, though. I really do. I think it's important.
And speaking of that, my other friend, who I love dearly, very old school with her names. Her grandmother, who she loved dearly, passed away. And so when she gave birth to her daughter, she called her Edna.
That's my grandmother's name.
I like Edna.
For the baby?
For the baby. So I love this girl, and I just looked at her like, you're kidding me, right? Like, I just think that's so old school.
Yes, but think of the old school names that are back now. I mean,
well,
20 years ago,
predict.
You never would have named a little girl Grace.
Edna is
you
not coming back, okay? That train has
Emily.
Left the station.
Well, and that's like Maude. I don't think Maude's coming back anytime soon. Or Josephine.
I don't know. I like Joe.
But look at the top names for 2010 for girls. Isabella. I mean, these are old names. Sophia, Emma, Olivia, Ava. And they all start with vowels.
Well, you know, what
Emily.
Happens? What happens is someone in Hollywood will name their kid Edna, and it'll make a huge resurgence, and I'll be all wrong. But that's a risk. And my grandmother's name was Bessie. And I loved my grandmother so much, but she made me promise I would not name a child after her because it was just not, you know, she never was happy with her own name, so.
My wife and I had very little argument with names. We just decided we'd go with an old-fashioned name. So we chose Walker because we wanted something that was old-fashioned and unusual but not too weird.
Walker, Texas
Walker.
Ranger, yeah.
Well, that's the first thing that came up, and we thought, but, you know, so what? That's not that bad.
Yeah.
No.
You know. It's not Forrest Gump, right.
No.
You know, these are the pitfalls you worry about.
I like old-fashioned names.
Well, there's classic, and then there's old-fashioned. You know, I remember when we bought the books and looked through the books, and there were, like, Volvo names is what they called them in the one book. So in other words, like,
Benjamin.
Strong
yeah,
and sturdy
classic
and classic
name.
And, you know, and so
but
that's,
then there's the, what the heck were you thinking?
Yeah,
names.
Chardonnay.
Chardonnay? Yeah. I
think we know what you were thinking.
I saw a little baby in the grocery store the other name named Buster, and I really hope that's his nickname.
No.
But yeah,
you just never know.
That you don't know.
Or the people who run out of creativity, like George Foreman, who named all of his kids George. But you know, there's simplicity in that.
There
you
is.
Call for George, and one of them's going to come.
And the double names. You know, we have the American Idol, the Philip Phillips, who's on right now. I think, you know, could you not have been a little bit more creative and come up with a better first name?
I do worry that my daughter is going to marry somebody named Anderson, and her name's going to be
Anderson.
Anderson. Yeah.
Well, we have we have more information actually on the names and some of the top mistakes that parents make. If you're interested, just go to becauseisaidsoradio.com. We'll be right back. But right now, I thank you not to roll your eyes at me. Close your mouth when you chew. We'd appreciate. Take a bite, maybe two of the stuff you hate. Use your fork. Do not burp or I'll set you straight. Eat the food I put up on your plate. Get an egg in the door. Don't be smart with me. Get a grip. Get in here. I'll count to three. Get a job. Get a life. Get a PhD. Get a go. So I don't care if you started. You're grounded until you're 36. Get your story straight and tell the truth for once, for heaven's sake. And if all your friends jumped off a cliff. Welcome back to Because I Said So. We just finished up talking about baby names and, you know, how some parents regret naming their children what they do. It kind of leads us into our next topic, which is before the name even comes, when your child asks you, well, how'd that baby get in your belly, mommy? I had this happen. My sister-in-law just had a little baby girl, and it just brought everything about in conversation. Well, you know, are you pregnant, mommy? No, mommy's not pregnant. And at one point, my youngest, Nick, who's five, we had to tell him that boys can't have babies. I mean, I don't know if it registered right away. And we were like, no, only mommies have babies. Daddies don't. So that's how much they don't know. But some kids probably know more than we even realize they do know. Have your parents given you the talk? Has anyone's kids
No,
asked them?
That's how I ended up with children.
Well, your kids are, your son's older, so
have we had
conversation?
The talk? We've had the talk many ways, many times, many opportunities. I continually try to talk to him about these issues. I don't really remember the talk per se, and you know, I did at the time rely heavily on his father to try to step in here and help me, because I feel this is a co-parenting issue. I don't know why, again, all these things fall on the mom, but...
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
I do think that the dad has to, if they can, if they're willing, if they're available, to be able to shed light on how that process works. But, you know, we were just talking earlier. I do think you have to be careful, because sometimes your kids are just asking, you know, not quite what you think they're asking. So there's two schools of thought here. Some people believe that you tell your kids everything so that they're well-informed, and others, you know, it's on a need-to-know basis.
And it depends on what the question is. I know Jackie's got probably a ton to say, because your husband, he's in the business.
He delivers babies.
Right. I mean, we have kind of a unique situation because my husband is an obstetrician. So you can imagine, like, dinner table conversation at our house is, you know, hysterectomy. Dad, what's a hysterectomy? And so, you know, my kids have a pretty good working knowledge at this point of what daddy does. You know, they still, there are some nuances there. But, you know, I came home one day and my daughter asked me how many sparkles I had in my tummy. And I said, what? Sparkles? What are you talking about? And she said, well, Aunt Katie told me that when you get married, you get sparkles in your tummy and then they grow into babies and that's how you have a baby. And like, really? What? Really? Like, you are not allowed to teach my children made up sex education. I'm sorry. So, no, you know, whatever your decision is, make your decision of how you're going to teach your kids. But holy cow, sparkles? Now I have to explain sparkles?
Well, I do find, as I'm recalling this now, usually it comes at a very inopportune time and you haven't had chance to even think about it. And you're in the car and it's like 5 minutes, you know, before you drop them off to school. And so you just make it up. I mean, you're just making it up, which is really what most parenting is, I hate to say, at least in my house. So, yeah, it is a good idea to have a plan for this. I'm sure there's books written on the whole subject.
There are books written on it, but I have to say I got one of those books for my son, and I was shocked at what information
was
in that
book. It was more explicit than you thought.
It was very more explicit than I was ready for him to see, so I put the book away.
Pictures, photos.
Pictures and just the content. I mean, I was okay with talking about, you know, the birds and the bees and the mechanics of how a baby gets there. I wasn't okay with talking about all of the extras that are going to come with, you know, his sex life.
And technique.
Yes. Yeah. It was a little too much. That's what the book was about.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Which book?
I don't know if I would ever give my
not
child
one
that.
You want to read.
This wasn't The Joy of Sex, was it? No. Okay. It was something else. Where Babies Come From.
But you do think about it, like you said, when I was asked, it was totally at the most inopportune time, and I kind of put him off. I'm like, this is something that Daddy and I both need to talk to you about, and Daddy's not here right now.
Go ask your father.
So we will address this later, because I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to answer it right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's a good technique to use, though.
Well, I was going to say that's exactly what, you know, the experts, which we are not, say you should do. Say, you know, we can have that conversation. Now isn't a great time. And give yourself a minute to first figure out what the child is asking. You know, yeah. How much does he or she really want to know? And then what's age appropriate?
My daughter used to, when we would drive to school, love for me to tell her the story of when she was born. Now, I didn't start it at conception. I started it at delivery.
Right.
So, but I would tell her all about, you know, staying up and, you know, when we brought her home. And I mean, literally for like a month, every day she would ask me to tell the same story. So, you know.
I'm at that stage now. That's so funny. So
really?
Kennedy's 8, and that's what she wants to hear all of the time. She loves that story.
Yeah. It's special.
They also say online, you know, another good tip is to use the correct language of the body parts. And I was just reading here, if you say the baby grows inside the belly, that may be confusing for kids because that's where food goes. So they, you know, what they may already know, but using the word womb or uterus, it will help you. Then you're going to have to explain what that is. But use the proper language and not make up silly names for it, because when they do have to then use the word, they'll know exactly what it is, and they won't use a...
Yeah, and I have to say at this point, my kids are 7 and 8, and they are very fascinated about how the baby comes out, because that's what Daddy does for mm-hmm. a living. They have not yet asked how the baby gets there to begin with. And, you know, apart from the whole sparkle thing, we haven't had that conversation yet.
Mm-hmm. But, and many people say, if they're not asking, then there's no need to have that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when there's a possibility that they're about to become sexually active, it's probably too late. But no, you know, I don't know what the experts say about when you're supposed to have this conversation, but I think you're sort of preparing them along the way, you know, gently until you actually have that conversation.
Well, and I think the experts say, too, or what I have read is that if you have open communication with your kids from day one, so if you're open about the body parts and you're open about, you know, just that they can come to you and ask questions, that it's going to open the doors for when they do have questions.
Yeah.
In my house, I have a boy, so he doesn't ask questions. So guess what? I know he knows way more than I think he knows, and I'm just waiting for the day for those questions to come, but they haven't come yet.
Well, and I do think we have to be careful as parents, because if they're not asking you questions, they're Googling it. So, you know, they do have questions, and I think that sometimes we have to avail ourselves and try to help fill in the blanks for them. And you know, I remember some children I know were involved with searching the internet and found some inappropriate material. And they were over to a friend's house, and the friend happens to be a scoutmaster. And he sat them down and said, look, you know, this is inappropriate. This is an inappropriate display of women. We don't treat women like this. Women are not just objects that we Google over. Mm. They are, you know, to be respected, and they're moms and sisters, and, you know, this isn't appropriate. So I was grateful for him at that moment, because
yes.
he put it in perspective and was a voice that they respected. And so they're not just learning about everything on the internet. You know, you do need to sometimes step it up and be that voice of maturity and give them something to think about other than what they're hearing from their peers, frankly.
And because he's a man,
yeah.
coming from a man, they because they're boys, may take it to heart a little more or more seriously.
And I think, too, that's some good advice. If you absolutely positively cannot say the word uterus in front of your kids, you know, go to the pediatrician, find a nurse, find someone who can have mm-hmm. a frank discussion with your kid and, you know, go there as a last resort.
Yeah,
that's a good idea, because hopefully, though, that's not a problem. I mean, you're the parent and you want to be able to guide them and lead them and, you know, make good decisions. So but if all else fails, you can always go to your pediatrician. They're good for that, aren't they?
Yes. Send us your comments on this. We'd love to hear what you have to say, your tips and your experiences on how you've dealt with this issue with your own kids.
And we are actually kind of traveling around the circle of life, because when we come back, we talked about birth and how babies are made, but next we're going to talk about how to talk to your children about death. When you lose a family member or a friend, they may not understand and have some questions. We'll be right back.
Grab your coat and your gloves and your scarf and hat. Don't forget, you gotta feed the cat. Eat your breakfast, the experts tell us it's the most important meal of all. Take your vitamins so you will grow up one day to be big and tough. Remember, the orthodontist will be seeing you at 3-2.
Welcome back to Because I Said So. We just finished up talking about how to explain to our children how babies are made. And there's another topic that recently, you know, came up in my family, because my grandmother recently passed away. And that's when it becomes an opportunity to talk to your children about death and how you handle that and how you answer their questions. And I read a lot online, and it's actually okay to not have all the answers, because you feel like you want to answer all their questions, but how do you look at them and explain certain things when they might not be able to comprehend, you know, certain things. My grandmother was cremated, and then I had to have the conversation about cremation as well. So it was kind of like a double whammy, and it was difficult. And they see mommy emotional because she was close to grandma, and then there's so many other things involved that it takes a lot.
I remember, like, one of my first memories is my father picking me up from school, and I was probably in second or third grade, and he was crying, and it was one of the first times I had seen my father cry, and he was telling me that his father, my grandfather, had passed away. And I'll never forget that moment, because there was so much emotion from my father, and I never saw him cry before, and he handled it very well, and, you know, talked to me about it, mm-hmm. and but it leaves that imprint. So it's very important how we handle it with our kids.
And that's funny that you say that, because I remember vividly the day that I found out that my grandfather died and the day my grandmother died. And, you know, I don't remember a thing that my parents said to me. I just remember hearing that news. So, you know, maybe it doesn't matter how you couch it, as long as they understand that, you know, it's sad and you're sad and you love them very much, because nothing about that stuck with me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, obviously, this gets into a deeper discussion about religious overtones, because, you know, obviously lots of people believe that they're going to a better place, or they're going, you know, to heaven. They're going to be happy, and you know, we will miss them. But, you know, there's obviously that's ways to help make all of us feel a little bit better about the trauma that we're enduring. But, yeah, we... My father-in-law passed away about a year and a half ago, and in the last part of his life, we brought him to our home under hospice care, which, you know, if anyone has experienced hospice care, is just an incredible group of people who care for terminally ill patients. And, you know, it was a decision, because we moved him into our home with my children, and so I had to talk to my kids and say, look, this is a situation, you know, he's not getting any better, and we're here because we love him, and we're going to take care of him, and it's going to be hard on all of us, but, you know, I need you to support him. I need you to go into his room and hug him and kiss him and tell him about your day. And those were some of the highlights of his, you know, the last few weeks of his life, for sure. And my kids were great. I could not have asked for better cooperation from them. And it wasn't until really toward the end that my son said to me, you know, this is fine, Mom, but he's not going to die here, right? And it really struck me that I guess I really hadn't thought of the emotional impact of that, of him actually dying at our home. And as it turned out, in the end, he did end up going back to Coastal Hospice by the lake, where he did pass away, which is an in-house hospice facility that we are truly blessed to have in the community too. But you know, I do think you do have to talk to your kids about it, and what happens, and the importance of family, and how we take care of our family and love our family. And you know, I think with grandparents, it's almost easier, because they have led a full life. Mm-hmm. You know, lots of families out there, I'm sure, have experienced traumas. We are so fortunate, me growing up and also the family that I have now, that we haven't had to deal with that immediate, you know, someone young has died and we've all had to deal with that trauma. That's a horse of a different color. And you know, kids are impacted by all of it, but that's certainly a huge impact for a kid.
Yeah. And from what they see on TV, too, they have imaginations. So they come up with some stuff on their own, too. Nicholas, who's 5, said to me, kind of like she's a balloon and she floats up. She's got a head and an arms and a leg and like a balloon. And I went along with that. I was okay with that because that's what he envisioned in his mind, and it didn't scare him. Mm-hmm. Because that's the other thing. You don't want them to be scared of a person that they loved that passed away. When we went to see my husband's grandfather, they wanted to touch him in the casket, and the family was very okay with that. They said, you can touch him. It's mm-hmm. okay. You touched him and sat on his lap, you know, last week. You're allowed to touch the body.
Wow, that's something they're going to remember.
Yeah. Well, and they weren't scared then. Yeah. You know, they didn't come back crying to me. They were just curious.
Yeah.
And it was okay.
And I think that's good that you let your child do what they're comfortable with. Like, I wouldn't want to force them to go if they
right.
didn't want to. But if they're very comfortable and want to, I think that's great.
I'm not a big fan of the open casket because I just think that does leave the lasting impression. And, you know, I'd much rather see the nice, happy, smiling, youthful-looking photo on top of, you know, because that's how I want to be remembered. I don't want to be remembered as the person in the casket, so there will not be an open casket for me.
Well, and Jenny, and I don't know how you handled this because I know that your grandmother was out of town. My stepmother died in September and, you know, long battle with cancer, so we knew that this was imminent. And I, you know, I kept driving my kids up there, and it's really hard to say, okay, this is the last time you're going to see her. They didn't get that mm-hmm. at all. You know, we were at grandma's house, and so we want to go outside, we want to run around, and we want to eat cookies. And it was really hard to say to the 7 and 8-year-old, you know, look, go sit on the couch with Nanny, because
right.
do you say this is the last
this
time you're
going to
see her? I mean, it was very clear, yeah. you know, that yeah. that this was the last time they were going to see her. And that was really hard. And I handled that, I think, really, really poorly.
I think it depends on the children, too, because, like you said, they wanted to go play and do what they would normally do when they would go to her house. And if they have those good memories of going to Nanny's house like that, then, yeah, maybe you don't really need to make them sit down and read a book to her. I don't really know if there is the right answer, because I think it depends on the child as well and the situation. Because when I went the weekend before to see my grandmother, we didn't know how close we were to her passing away. I didn't take my kids with me. I went myself. And maybe that was very selfish of me, because I knew they were not going to sit in her room at her home and be good for more than 10 minutes. So I wanted to spend several hours with her.
Yeah, well, you can't yeah. second guess yourself
right,
about
exactly.
that. I think that was the right decision for you at the time. And, you know, yeah. you couldn't have known. You wouldn't have known. Whatever. That's how it goes.
And then explaining, like I said, she was cremated. But, you know, when I told them what happens when a body's cremated, I got some eyeballs. I mean,
that's pretty scary.
Very hard for them to understand that.
Yeah.
But then the fact that they can come with me to put her ashes where she wants them, which is in a body of water somewhere, I think they might be interested in that. And they might think that's cool.
They'll remember that. That will leave such yeah. a memory for them.
Yeah.
And I do think, you know, that you need to continue to share stories of your grandmother and why she was special. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's the legacy that will live on for them.
You're right. And we do have some information that, like you had said, hospice, amazing people and instrumental in helping a family grieve. So we do have some tips that's provided by a hospice center that will help you talk to your children about the end of life for family members and friends. It doesn't have to be as hard as you think it is. You're listening to Because I Said So. And please check us out on Facebook at Because I Said So, and on our links page for some of this information that we spoke about in the show today, becauseisaidsoradio.com. You've been listening to Because I Said So, a production of Delmarva Public Radio. For more information, including podcasts of this episode, visit us online at becauseisaidsoradio.com. Thanks to Anita Renfro for allowing us to use her song Momisms as our theme song. And be sure to like us on Facebook. Look for the lady with the red hot lips. I said so, I said so, I said so, I said so. I'm the mom.
the mom, the mom, the mom.